That was beautiful, thank you. I'm delighted to introduce you to Mohammed Hawamda, who is a landed immigrant from Jordan. He came to Canada to do a master's in business administration and fell in love with Vancouver Island. When you go on Mohammed's website to his letterhead at the bottom where he signs his name, he has a quote, which I think encapsulates a little bit about Muhammad, who comes from the Sunni branch of Islam. It's a quote by Martin Luther King Jr. "An individual has not started living until he can rise above the narrow confines of his individualistic concerns to the broader concerns of all humanity." Please welcome Muhammad.
Thank you, Jennifer. That, you know what, it's a very heartwarming welcome. It's a very heartwarming place to be here, and it's a privilege and an honor today to come and meet you and have this opportunity to speak a little bit about Islam. I think that what I have heard so far is not that different from Islam. It's more like, you know, I was going to say, you know, Allah is God and God Allah. It's more like, you know, I think that you have spread the meaning even more. It's more like, you know, whether we call him Jehovah, whether we call him Yahweh, whether we call him Baha'u'llah, whether we call, he has the creator. There are so many different names and manifestations of the name of Allah or the name of God. So may his blessed, you know, his name be always blessed. And I know that each one of you have Allah or God deep inside their hearts. Today, it's more like, you know, I wanted to say something about Islam. I wanted to give a small glimpse about Islam. And Islam has different interpretation. It's more like, you know, we are talking about almost half a billion people who believe in this religion. And I cannot speak on all of their behalf. What I can speak about Islam, how I see it, Islam, my interpretation of Islam. And I have to admit that I came through a journey. Maybe at one time, it's more like, you know, living and growing up in Jordan, I was indoctrinated with the religion. It's more like, you know, I will go to the class, I will go to the Friday school or Sunday school, and it's more like, you know, the religion was seeded, it was implanted. You know, at home, it's the same thing. It's more like, you know, my father will give me the teaching. But I think that after growing up and coming over here to Canada, I think that I started gradually to have a better understanding of my religion. And I went back and forth with my religion to have, you know, to be frank with you. It's more like, you know, there are something that frankly did not make sense to me. It's more like, you know, it doesn't, I was not able to, you know, accept the concept. And on the other side, it's more like there have been beautiful things that I said, that's why I love Islam, that's what I love religion. So basically, Islam not a new religion. Islam is a continuity of Judaism and Christianity. Islam is an Abrahamic faith. So whatever Moses and Jesus came with, Muhammad, the Prophet Muhammad, came along with the same concept, with the same ideas. The same principles that we have in the Ten Commandments, we will see the same commandments in the Holy Quran, and maybe for one difference, one small difference, which is about the Sabbath, which is about the respecting the Sabbath. And this is a small, let me say, variation in all of these, let me say, concepts. So they are almost the same. So Islam is not a new faith. Islam is a continuity of Christianity and Judaism. Islam, the word itself, sin, comes from the three-letter word in Arabic. And it means basically peace. And this is what I have heard over here. It's more like we have greeted each other with peace. Also, one of the names of Allah, one of the name of God is also peace. We greet our basic principle, our basic salutations in Islam, whether it is good morning or good afternoon or have a good night, we always say, may peace be upon you, the mercy of God and his blessing. So if you are coming to some place, you say, may peace be upon you. If you are leaving, you will say, may peace be upon you. So peace is always there with you. Quran is the holy book of the Muslims. And if you read the Quran, you will not see that there is some kind of continuity. Sometimes there might be more like, you know, a story, and then it will disconnect, and then it will turn into another subject. So unlike maybe the Bible, it's more like, you know, you will read, there is more like, you know, continuity. The Quran have descended on the Prophet Muhammad through the Archangel Gabriel in segments. And after the death of Prophet Muhammad, because they were afraid that all of these friends of the Prophet and all of these acquaintances who learned the Quran by heart, they were afraid that it will be forgotten because, you know, by age and by war, they will go away, they will disappear, they will be deceased. So they decided to put the Quran all together in one book, and that was maybe after 20 years of the death of the Prophet Muhammad. Now, there have been, the beginning of the Quran, it was not dotted, but afterwards when non-Arabs started to enter into Islam, it became more of the classical Arabic that we know nowadays, which is more like, you know, they will put all of these small movements and the dots, etc. So it's more like, you know, so to make it much more easier for the non-Arabs to read the Quran. I have to read the Quran in Arabic to do my prayer. I cannot translate it into a different language and read it. It will not be holy. So it has to be in the original language, the Arabic. So Arabic is holy for me. The language itself is holy. So there is high, respect to the language. So newsletters are not supposed to be wrapped, you know, sandwich papers and or put it on a table or do it arts and crafts on it because it has the holy language. You cannot just throw the newspaper or the words of Arabic into any place. So this is another thing about Islam, respecting the language, respecting the Arabic language. For me, to be a Muslim, I have to confess of the pillars of Islam. And the pillars of Islam is just like a table. It's more like the structure, the basic where it is held. And we have five pillars. I have first to testify there is no God but God himself. There is no entity. There is no other God than Allah or God himself. And that Prophet Muhammad is his messenger. I have to pray five times a day. I have to give charity. I have to fast. And during Ramadan, which is more like a 1 month of fasting, I also have to do one in a lifetime, I have to do a pilgrim to Mecca. So these are the five pillars of Islam. Now, taking it another step, taking it forward another level, which we call the articles of Islam, and I have to believe in them as well. So to start with, I have to be believer of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have to be believing in Allah. I also have to believe in the angels. And we almost have the same angels and the same names. We have Archangel Gabriel, Jibril, and we call him Jibril in Arabic. We have Malik, we have Uzrail, and we have different angels for different tasks. So I have to believe also in the angels. Also, I have to believe in all the revealed books. So I have to believe in the Bible, the Old Testament, the Torah. And there are many books that we are, or as me as a Muslim, I'm not acquainted, or the name of these books have not been revealed. So as many as there have been prophets, probably there have been also books. So I have to believe in these books as well. I also have to believe in all the prophets. May peace be upon them. Respect and pay tribute to them. So when I say Prophet Muhammad, I say peace be upon him. When I say Jesus Christ, I will say also peace be upon him. Moses, Daniel, and Aaron, and all of these is more like, you know, there are 25 names of prophets and messengers that have been cited on the Quran, and there have been also plenty more that have not been cited. So I have to believe in all of them. So if I say I don't believe in Jesus, I don't believe in my religion. I don't believe in the Quran. So I have to believe in Jesus Christ, I have to believe in his miracles, and I have to believe in his miracles and the story of his birth as well. In the Quran, we have two chapters, very, very, let me say, heartwarming chapters. One of them is about Jesus Christ, and the other one is about Lady Maryam, his mother. May peace be upon them. And it's more like, it's a beautiful story, and every time when I read it, it's more like, you know, it just fills my heart with warmth. Because, it's, you know, Jesus Christ came and defended his mother when he was still in the cradle. So that is just a beautiful scene. It's more like, you know, just a beautiful story when I read about Jesus Christ. I also have to believe in resurrection and the day after, and whatever predestination by God, I have to believe in the predestination, whether it is seemingly good or seemingly bad. So I also mentioned this more like, you know, the basics of Islam is the pillars, the five pillars. I have to testify that there is no God but God himself. Muhammad is his prophet. I have to fast. I have to pray. And I have to make a pilgrim. And then come the ihsan, which is the perfection of the religion. Now, it's more like, let's, maybe, you know, when we worship, it's more like when we hold to our religions, personally speaking for myself, you know, I go back and forth. Sometimes I feel myself that I'm just holding on to the basics. In other times, I feel myself going for another level and going for another level and finally going to the highest level, which is ihsan. The highest level, which is more like, you know, where I worship God as if he sees me and I see him. And this is more like, you know, the optimal, that I will do my best. I will be the perfect believer in his message and trying to take and hold on and to embrace everything that is ordained for me to do. So this is what we call the ihsan, or the highest level of perfectioning the religion. So I will just leave it for here for talking about Islam itself, and I will just touch base on Prophet Muhammad. Prophet Muhammad, he was born in 570 after birth. His father was dead by that time, and his mother, she, like the habit of the Arabs at that time, she was sent him to the desert. And he will be brought up by the nomads, by the tribes, nomads. There, he will be away from the city, where it is healthier, fresh air. He will learn about chivalry. He will learn about, shepherd, how to take care of a flock. At the same time, it's more like, you know, he had the time to contemplate, and he showed some signs of prophethood right from the beginning. At a later stage, he became helper for his uncle, who was a merchant. He was a merchant, and he used to trade between Mecca, which is the center, south Yemen, and then north Syria, Damascus. So they will trade back and forth between these two regions, and this is where he learned. He was a merchant. And after some time, he became a very good merchant, where Khadija, to be his first wife, hired him. So he was trading for her. And then Khadija, although she was almost 20 years older than he was, proposed to him, and he accepted. And he got married. He never had boy children from her. He had only girls. And unfortunately, she died early. And it was a dramatic, let me say, sadness for Muhammad. At the same time, his uncle, who taught him everything, who took care of him because he was an orphan at that time, his uncle also passed away. So it was a tragic hit for him during this time. Now, at the age of 40, in 610, the archangel Gabriel came to Prophet Muhammad, descended on Prophet Muhammad. He was contemplating in a cave, and Khadija was his wife at that time. And the first word for Muhammad was, by the archangel Gabriel, it was read. That was the first word in the Quran. It was read. This signifies the importance of knowledge and learning. And Muhammad, as an illiterate, he said to him, I'm not a reader. He said, read. And the first verse of the Quran came afterwards. Name, read in the name of God. And that was the first sentence. That was the first thing of the Quran. Now, Muhammad was a little bit shaken. It's more like, you know, never had something like that happen to him. And he went to his wife. And he was, it's more like, you know, he was trembling, and he was saying to her, you know what, I don't know what's going. Is it more like, you know, madness? Am I thinking? Am I having some dreams, daydreams? And she said to him, I will call my uncle. And her uncle was a Christian, Waraqa bin Nawfal. His name was Waraqa. So her uncle, the Christian, came to him, and he said, well, there have been stories that there have been prophets and messengers, and you might be one of them. So there we go. Her uncle, a Christian, just supported him as well and gave him that security and comfort that you might be the chosen one after all. So Muhammad continued with his message, and of course he was oppressed by the people of Quraysh, by the people of Mecca, because he is coming with a new religion that will teach them how to give away their slaves, how to release them, to become free. He is telling them about no longer you will have all of these gods and entities and all of these idols. Now you have only one God. And of course, for the people of Mecca, it was business. These people come to Mecca every year in order to perform a pilgrim, and we will have an idol for each tribe. So now we are telling them, Muhammad is telling them, you will have only one God, and guess what? You can't even see him. So it's more like, you know, Muhammad came and he said, no longer you can inherit your mother. No longer children or girls particularly could be killed just because you are afraid of nurturing and giving to them and providing for them. He's telling them from now on there will be no interest. And if you want to give a loan, you have to give it interest-free. He's telling them about how to conduct business. He's telling them about how to conduct their daily life. And of course, for the people of Mecca, it was too much. So they oppressed him. They oppressed his followers. And they casted them out. So he had no other option than leaving Mecca and going for Medina, which is more like 300 kilometers city north of Mecca. And he started the first Muslim society. And of course, like any other place, he started with the mosque. And he created the mosque and around him, then the city. Now, Muhammad went back again another time to Quraysh, this time not in peace, but as a conqueror. And he was able to subjugate Mecca. That was in 630. And shortly after, in 632, after 2 years, he passed away. And then we have the Muslim era. It's more like we have the four believers, which we call the caliphates, that came after Muhammad, and then we have the Umayyad period, and we have the Abbasid period, and we have the Fatimi period, and then during this time, Islam started to spread all the way to Syria, Northern Africa, all the way to Eastern Europe, and Far East as far as India. Now, further than India, it's more like there have never been armies, Muslim armies conquering that regions, but Indonesia, Malaysia, all of these regions, actually, Islam has proliferated there because of merchants. Merchants will come with the ideas. Merchants will come with trade. And then also they will come with religion. And this is how Islam was in Indonesia, for instance. So the biggest Muslim country is not Saudi Arabia. It's not Egypt. Actually, the biggest Muslim country is Indonesia, followed by Pakistan and India, and none of these are Arabic-speaking. So back again, it's more like, are all Muslims Arabs and all Arabs Muslim? Definitely not. Are all Arabs Muslims? Not in the case of Lebanon. The true religion, the religion of the government in Lebanon is Christianity. But most of these countries, what is the nice thing, for instance, Jordan, I can speak on behalf of Jordan, is that they will acknowledge that we have Christianity as a religion in Jordan. And they are given more like laissez passer. They have their own affairs. They can follow their own affairs and they can do, it's more like, you know, whatever they want. Now, before 1948, we also had Jews in Jordan at that time. And the interesting thing, the names of the families, you could not differentiate. This name is a Muslim, a Christian, or a Jew. And they all spoke Arabic. Now, after the creation of the State of Israel, some people have been encouraged to leave to Israel, but some people stayed and remained, just like Egypt and just like Syria and Morocco and Yemen. It's more like, you know, some Jews still and maintained there. Now, there is a very close relationship between Islam and Christianity, especially in Jordan. You might hear unfortunate news happening other places in the world. For instance, in Egypt, where unfortunate bombing is more like, you know, things happen in churches and against the Copts, also at the same time against the Muslims. So they get on each other. Now, in Jordan, I'm very, let me say, blessed to say, it's more like, you know, it has been very calm. Nothing of that sort have happened. My mother is from the southern part of Jordan, and, you know, it's more like, you know, you will have one house Muslim and the second house is a Christian. And in Islam, if two children are breastfed together, they become brothers and sisters. So it turned out to be that I have a Christian uncle, and I have to pay him respect and tribute just like paying one of my Muslim uncles. So when it's Christmas, I go and say hi to him and wish him Christmas. good Christmas. And the same thing when it is Easter, I have to do the same thing. Now, my uncle from my mother, who's her brother, okay, he is married to a Christian. And the same thing. So it's more like, you know, so when Christmas time comes, we dress up and we go and celebrate Christmas with my uncle and my auntie. So it's the same thing. Well, this is my good memory of Jordan, but unfortunately, I think that things have started to take a sour turn lately in that region. And unfortunately, I look at politics, and maybe politics is the motivator for all of this. I only started to hear about Sunnis and Shi'i when I came over here. Before that, I've never heard about these divisions and fractions in Islam. And the same thing in Christianity. When we say it's more like, okay, I'm a Muslim or I'm a Christian, we've never had that. It's more like, from which denomination are you? Never had that question. When we go and, you know, I was raised in one of the schools, and it's a Christian school. And when the time for religious class, my friends will go to the Christian class, and I will go to the Muslim class. And we will come back again another time, and we will play. And maybe we will speak about a little bit what happened in the class, it's more like, you know, and religion. And sometimes we will go and to the other classes. We will go and visit the other classes. Unfortunately, maybe with politics nowadays, things have not been as they used to be. And more like, you know, emotions and feelings are becoming heightened. And unfortunately, some people who take advantage of religion and they use it as a tool because they believe that, you know, this is the power. I have the power from God to say and do what I'm going to do right now. And we forgot that it's more like, you know, God is our rock. And at the end of the day, we go back to him. God is consistent. When he sent all of these prophets and messengers, he did not say, I'm going to send Muhammad to the Muslims, okay? You are named the Muslims, you are Islam, and this is Christ, and this is Jesus, and this is for the Christians. I think that God is consistent. He has the same message, and he has the same idea. And then he will send all of these prophets and messengers because we go astray. And he needs to remind us from time to time. And that's why he sent all of these prophets and messengers. The message has always been consistent. Love your neighbor. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you so much, Mohammed. And I know there's probably a lot of questions. And so after the service, you're welcome to go and get a coffee and come back in here for half an hour and have a question and answer with Mohammed. Thank you so much, Mohammed. Let us rise.